Our first reading this morning is from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, in which we are urged to bear one another's burdens. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So, let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Second reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Here ends the reading.
How many of you watched the closing worship of the 29th United Church of Christ General Synod last Tuesday night? Sherry's hand is up. Nobody else? Okay. Well, it didn't come on till 10:30, but the Reverend Dr. Joe Hudson, former senior pastor at Cathedral of Hope in Dallas, used this text from the Gospel of Luke in her closing sermon to the Synod and to the whole United Church of Christ. I will not try to re-preach her powerful sermon and suggest that you might want to go find it on the UCC website. But I will try to lift up some of Job's observations for the United Church of Christ and for us as a local congregation. She began by reminding us, well, she didn't begin, but she reminded us early in her sermon, the truth of the words of Isaiah, that God is doing a new thing, that our still speaking God is always about doing a new thing. And in this story from Luke of the sending out of the 70, God was doing a new thing in Jesus, and Jesus was doing a new thing by sending out the 70, preparing where he hoped to go himself, moving into communities of both Jew and Gentiles to preach, to proclaim, to heal. Not staying in the synagogue or the temple in the comfort of the 613 laws that gave structure to their faith and to their life, but out into the community. God was doing a new thing through Jesus. Not the way it had been done before. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And Joe got some chuckles from the congregation because she said, who of us hasn't hoped for more laborers in our church? That the harvest is plentiful, but we all want more laborers. She reminded us of a statistic that we probably all know, that as you do a survey in our nation of people's religious affiliation, the fastest growing group are the nuns. Not the N-U-N-S type of nuns, but the N-O-N-E-S nuns. The harvest is plentiful, but we need more laborers. She reminded us that we need to seek plenitude rather than to be trapped in scarcity. Too often, the fear of scarcity keeps us from being engaged in that harvest, in that sharing of the good news. We're afraid we're too small. We're afraid we don't have enough. We're afraid that we just don't have the laborers we need. But we need to let go of that fear of scarcity. The harvest is plentiful. And then Jesus gives the 70 some instructions. Go out, share a message of hope and healing. travel light, eat what's put before you, don't keep looking for a better place to stay, and offer peace. Offer peace. Offer shalom. And tell the folk, even those who don't respond, that the reign of God is at hand. A time when things will be different, when justice and peace will prevail. That the reign, the realm of God, is at hand. And that's the message for us yet today. To go out and share hope, share healing, share the good news that in Christ it can be different. And it is different. Last week I wondered during the sermon how the lectionary committee sometimes put the text together. And this week, I understand. Because the Galatians text comes at the end of Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, following up what we heard last week on the fruits of the Spirit. And they're basically instructions for being the church. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the ones that's Paul's list. I think there's other fruits besides. And then he gives us these simple instructions about what it means to be the church. To bear one another's burdens. To bear one another's burdens. And to not grow weary in doing what is right. To not grow weary in doing what is right. We all grow weary. We wonder if we're making any difference. Does the work we do in the community make any difference? Is $330 to the free medical clinic going to make a difference? Yes. The sharing a word of hope to somebody who is struggling make a difference? It sure can. To find ways to bear a burden of somebody who's dealing with grief or loss or illness. don't grow weary in doing what is right. And work for the good of all. We are to be a church of radical hospitality and extravagant welcome that is not overcome by the scope and the size of the challenges around us. Just because not everybody shares that vision doesn't mean we give up. So we don't grow weary in doing what is right. Don't get trapped in the fear of scarcity. So we come to the table this morning. We come to the table to remember the words and the teachings and the life of Jesus the Christ, and to be strengthened and to be renewed by the presence of God's Holy Spirit. We come so that we will not grow weary in doing what is right, that we will have the strength and the ability and the courage to bear one another's burdens and to continue to work for the common good. For our still speaking God is always about doing a new thing and inviting us to share in that new thing and to reach out with hope and healing and good news to all those nuns that need to hear that they are loved and that there's a place for them at the table in a community of extravagant welcome. Amen.